Blog Talk Radio.
Yeshua HaMashiach, our Master and our Savior, our Elohim and our Redeemer, the lover of our soul and the rock of our faith. I want to say good morning, family. Got up early this morning. I'm going to open up the mics here. Got up early this morning, jumped on the prayer line with Sister Rhea and the minister there that is they're running things. And, you know, I was actually blessed this morning, you know, so it is a good thing. I heard a kindred spirit when it comes to the Most High and understanding that you've got to have the Ruach HaKodesh and you have to, you know, you have to want to live holy. You have to want to come out of sin and walk upright before the Most High. So it was a blessing this morning, and I take my hats off to the sisters. We are dealing with holiness, getting back to our roots in the spiritual wellness, and getting back to our roots because we have to understand that if we say that we are Israel, and I said this class is for Hebrews specifically, but it can minister to anyone because, you know, being holy is not just something that Israel is called to. So anyone that wants to come and participate, of course, we welcome them. But we're dealing with the ills of Israel, what we suffered coming out of post-traumatic, out of our slavery, post-traumatic slave syndrome, the spirits that we brought with us out of that. And so we've talked about the spirit of whoredom, and, you know, we know what we got to do about that. It's not a hard one to figure out. But we first have to, you know, had to accept that, hey, yeah, we were doing these things. We were running around fornicating. We were in adulterous relationships. And that spirit was put on us by the Most High because of what our forefathers did in them worshiping and committing spiritual idolatry, spiritual adultery, spiritual fornication with other gods. And so he said he would put this on his people who did it to him and cause, you know, he says, he's a jealous Elohim. And he said, we made him jealous by worshiping other Elohim. So he would make us jealous. We're at the stage where we are coming back to who we are as a people. And so we have to understand that the Most High called us and created us as a nation for a specific reason. And we will never be fulfilled until we are doing what it is that he has called us to do. So let us do our statement of faith. Let's see, where am I at here? Do our statement of faith, and we will pray in, and then we will start to, you know, discuss this trait of holiness that the Most High says we must have. You know, it's not optional. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise this morning, for truly, truly he is worthy of all our adoration. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Father. We thank you for another day. We thank you for keeping us safe during the night. We thank you for giving us a right mind to follow you, Father. We could be out running around trying to sin, Father, but you have put us in our right place and in our right mind. And, Father, we just want to thank you because you could have given us the spirit of deception and we could be doing all kind of other things. So, Father, we glorify you, we lift you up, and we magnify your name this morning. You are our Elohim, and you are our Elohim all by yourself. Another will we not bow down to, Father, but only to you. We serve and worship you only, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Yah. Hallelujah. We want to let us go now. Let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads as we go before the Most High in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together, Father, and to fellowship and to heal, Father. You are the great healer, and it is only you that can heal us, but we have to want to be healed. So, Father, we submit ourselves to you that we might be healed, that we might become whole, that we might become your people, the children that you have always wanted. Father, be with us this morning. Let it be your words be heard. Put your spirit within us. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. I want to take us back to the book of Exodus for our scripture reading this morning. And it's going to also be what we're going to be discussing this morning. Let's go to the book of Exodus because we're going back to our roots. And we have to accept the job that the Most High created us for, that he formed us for. If we can accept this, then it should make it easier for us to come out of the sin that so easily besets us. The book of Exodus, chapter 19, verse 6. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. So from the very beginning, may the Most High bless unto the reading, the hearing, the understanding of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. From the very beginning, for us to even get right with the Most High, we have to accept who we are as a people. We have to accept that he chose us to be a holy nation, a nation of priests, not just the Levitical priesthood. All 12 tribes were supposed to be priests. The priests had a priesthood within them, the Levites. But as a nation, Israel was supposed to be a nation of priests to the world. And so we have to understand that this is our roots. This is what the Most High called us to. You know, we wanted to be, why don't we own, you know, big media? Why don't we own big corporations? Why don't we own whatever it is in the world that they want to say is, you know, it's a status symbol that they control? Most High said, I selected you to be my priest. And you got to be happy and willing to live within your calling. This is what I called you for as a nation, to be close to me, to be my representatives to the world, to teach the world my statutes, my laws, and my commandments, to teach the world how to be holy. But when the priesthood corrupts itself, then we got problems, and this is what happened. The priesthood corrupted itself. Our forefathers corrupted themselves. And so we find ourselves being disciplined, being chastised, being scattered throughout all the nations of the world, lost our kingdom, lost our king, lost our job. Hear what the Most High is saying. Lost our job. And when we are coming back to him and we are tied up, you know, we are suffering with the ills of this world, the sin of this world, because we all, our forefathers always wanted to be like the other nations. When you go back and you look at our history, the Most High says, hey, I'm going to clean out the land, but I'm going to leave a couple of people in there, a couple of nations in there to test you, to see if you will follow after me or if you will follow after them. Every time we followed after them.
Yeah.
We start, even, you know, I have to go find this. I believe I read it in Ezekiel. I have to go find it. It says we were corrupt coming out of Egypt. So I want us to hear this and understand how long this has been among us and how patient the Most High has been. The Most High comes down to present himself to Israel. Don't come at your wives for 3 days. Clean yourselves up. All right, let me do this. Mute your mics on your end. Okay? Mute your phones on your end. Okay, thank you. So I want you to put this picture in your mind, okay? Because we got to understand where we're at as a people, okay? And we need to be delivered from a lot of things, and the ministry the Most High has given me is to show us how to be his priest. The mind. You guys still there?
No, that's still here.
Still?
Okay, hold on a minute. I had a power out.
I'm here.
I'm still here. I had a power out. I'll be right back.
I'm still here.
Okay, amen. I can't really see what's going on, so I'm gonna keep going like this until my monitors come back up. The Most High chose us as his people. He comes down and he presents himself to Israel. He gives Israel his statutes, his laws, his commandments. The people hear this. So I want you to put yourself in this mind frame, in this mindset. The Most High is coming down. You hear him saying, you should have no other God before him. You should not make any image of anything in the heavens or under the sea that you try to look like him. You should not bow yourself down to any other Elohim. You shall honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. Yeah, it looks like my computers need to reboot here. It's back on.
No,
it's yours. Hold on a minute, please. What we find is the Most High presents himself to Israel. Then he calls Moses up to the mountain to write the laws down on the tablets. Now, this is all within the first months, that they're coming out of Egypt. Within 30 days, Moses is up on the mountain. He's been gone about 30 days. They create the golden calf. You just saw the Most High on the mountain. You were afraid to go talk to him. You were afraid. You wanted Moses to go and speak for you. And then within 30 days, you have corrupted yourself. So we brought this calf worship and would have you out of Egypt with us. And even seeing the miracles of the Most High and seeing everything that he was doing, our forefathers still corrupted themselves. They haven't even been into the promised land yet. I've called you to be a holy nation. But our forefathers didn't really want to buy into that. So from our very conception, you know, the Most High, even back then, told Moses, "Say, I'll kill them all, and I'll start over with you." And Moses talked him out of that. Give me a hot second here. Let me log back in. He says, I'll start over with you. And Moses talked him out of it. So the Most High has called Israel from the very beginning. I want you to be a nation of priests. a holy nation. We want to talk about this holiness because, you know, we're looking at the sins that we are and the spirits that we seem to be possessed with, like fornication and adultery, the spirit of whoredom, where, you know, we're just sleeping around. We don't have any kind of standard. Our standard is the standard of the Western world. And the Most High says, you know, you're my people. You can't live by that standard. But when we're coming out of slavery, we kept the same mentality. We lost who we were as a people. And the Most High really had to wake us up as to who we are. You know, when I was in the church, and, you know, and I can say I've basically been in church, you know, almost my whole life. I mean, as children, we went to church, but we weren't made to go to church. But we've always had this thing where our family, we've been spiritual, I put it that way. So whether it was the Catholic Church or the Baptist Church, whatever it was, you know, at one time or another we went, and then always had this this thing about the Most High Elohim, God, as we would call it. Sort of always been in my life. But, you know, the Most High, as I retired from the military and I'm looking at how people treat, you know, so-called African American, so-called Hebrew, how they treat us, even in the military, I should have went to the top in the enlisted ranks, but because of prejudice and racism, systematic racism, institutional racism, you know, a lot of ways I was blocked. And then when I retired, you know, I started my own company, my own IT company. The Most High blessed it. I was able to maintain my family and things like that. But, you know, still the world was only going to let me go so high, being who that I was. And I had to ask the Most High. I said, no matter how much money we get, no matter how much power we seem to have, to achieve, no matter how much education we get, why do they still see us the same way? Because I didn't know who we were. I just thought, you know, we were African American Negroes. Can I have you guys use this stuff on me? All right, thank you. No matter who we, no matter what we do, you know, they're always different. I can't see where you see that from, so let me have everybody to meet the mic. All right, Sister Ray, if you're able to see the screen, if you're able to mute everybody, that would help out.
Brother Miles, I just muted everyone's line. I just muted all the lines. Somebody had their line open, so I muted every single body.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, so we got to understand, the Most High came back to me and said, you're my people. And I still didn't quite get it. I mean, I asked the question, but I still didn't quite get it. You know, and I asked a specific question. But somehow my brain, you know, wasn't going to let me go there completely. And so, you know, I'm how the Most High trained me up in the Word. You know, I've studied the Word, read the Scriptures, then debated the Scriptures, you know, certain, you know, doctrine against doctrine, things like this. And he was preparing me for ministry to be able to deal with, you know, this Word and whoever in it. Wherever they may be at. And so I was debating who is Messiah. Who is Jesus at the time? I call him Yeshua now. Who is he? And his brother heard my voice. And he says, hey, do you know who you are? And, you know, I really did have an attitude with it. I was like, oh, no, one of these. And I said, yeah. I said, the Most High told me that we are his people. He said, we who? I said, we, the African-American, the black people. He said, he told you that. I said, yeah, that's what came back to me in an answer in prayer. I didn't know anything about us being Hebrew Israelites or anything like that. Never heard of it. Really, to tell you the truth, had never heard of, you know, the Hebrew Israelite movement, who we are as a people. He says, can you prove it by the scriptures? And I told him, I said, no, I can't prove it by the scriptures. You know, and the Most High always put, as I said, puts people in your way to help you grow, to edify you. So this brother walked me through the scriptures. And I got depressed. We are cursed people. We did the Most High this way. And it depressed me until the Most High showed me that there was hope for us. Now we're coming to the point where as his people and trying to help us to heal and to come back to him, we got to come back to, number one, we have to come out of sin. There's just no, you know, ifs, ands, or buts about that. We have to become that nation of priests that he called, because he says in Romans chapter 10 that we would have to be grafted back in again. He cut us off. So we got to understand as a people, we were cut off. I called you to this priesthood. You keep messing it up. You keep doing the wrong thing. And I'm going to cut you off, okay, as a people, and scatter you throughout all the nations. But I'm going to save a remnant of you, and you're going to still be the apple of my eye if you can come back and pick up what it is that I took from you. I'm going to make it to where you can come back to it. So we as a people have to realize who we are. Now, before we even look at the priesthood, your first objective the people of the Most High is actually becoming one of his people. Just because you are, you know, an African-American or a Hebrew by flesh does not make you a child of Yah. And so he says we have to come back in through Messiah. And we have to come back through that role. And then we have to pick up our priesthood. This is what we were ordained to. This is what we were called to. So each and every one of us has to accept that. This is what we're called to. We're trying to be everything in the world, but what he called us to. You're called to be my priest. You're called to be close to me. You're called to be my go-between the world and me. And so this priesthood for Israel, the Most High in heaven, was their king. But they didn't want him as a king. They couldn't see him. So they said, we want a king like the nations have. And so we've always wanted to be like the world. And so the Most High is calling us back. He's waking us up. And he's calling us back for those who can hear it and for those who will do it to pick up our priesthood. This is what we were formed for. This is what he selected us out of the world for. One of the attributes of that priesthood, he says, a holy nation. Be thou holy, for I am holy. We have to pick that up. That means that holiness, the sisters were going through definitions this morning, and holiness, another definition for holiness is clean, set apart. For the Most High's use, sanctified, that the Most High can be around you. He can't be around anything unholy, unclean. And so if you're his priesthood, you can't be unholy. You can't be unclean. You can't be caught up in the world and doing the things that the world is doing because you're a set-apart people meant for his use, meant to take the gospel of the kingdom to the world, meant to help the world. Because, see, it's not just Israel that suffers from these things, the sin that we suffer from. The world already was in that stuff. The Most High called us out to sanctify us and to show us what was wrong, that we might go back and teach the world. We didn't want the assignment. Our forefathers wanted to be like the world. So that has always caused an issue. Let's see, I'm almost back up here. And y'all, excuse me, all my notes are on this computer. Oh, I need to turn on my other monitors. So we have to understand that as we're learning about what sin is, the transgression of the laws of the Most High, we just keep it simple. Sin is the transgression of his laws, his statutes, and his commandments. Anything that comes out the Most High's mouth is not a suggestion. It's a commandment. And so when he says, be thou holy, for I am holy, and it's not one of the Ten Commandments, do you think that you got an option in this? You don't. You don't have an option in this. It is a requirement for his priesthood. And as I work through this, all right. One moment, please. You know, the devil is busy this morning. But Yah is good and greatly to be praised. And we're going to do this. All right.
Amen.
So we talked about on Shabbat, to be holy, you need to realize that you got to be connected to Elohim. He is holiness. Without his Ruach, HaKodesh, we are just men. And we have to be reborn of his spirit. We have to be begotten of his spirit, the same spirit that was in Messiah. We have to have that same spirit, the spirit of the Most High Elohim. We also discussed that we have to be separated to Elohim as his possession. He chose us. He said, I purchased you with my blood. I purchased you and sent you into Egypt and made a covenant with you and brought you out of Egypt to give you and bring you into the promised land. The land that I was going to be headquartered out of. The land that I was in, I've been in all along, but the people keep corrupting themselves, and I keep kicking them out. So I went and formed me a people. You're that people, and you corrupted yourself. I learned that we have to be separated from what's common. That means that we don't do what the world does. We have to hold ourselves to a higher standard. We don't walk around, you know, looking to get into, to do wickedness, to do evil. The world's way is to the strong survive. The Most High has a heart for the weak. He says he's strong when you're weak. He has a heart for the weak. The world is the strong survive, so the world takes advantage of the weak. So we got to be separated from all everything that is unclean, everything that morally defiles. We have to be obedient to the word of Yah as his priesthood. So he calls us to be holy, to be set aside, to be set apart, that we will be able to represent him, that he might be able to come amongst us and walk amongst us, be amongst us, fill us literally with his spirit. We have to be that people, and we have to want that for ourselves. So we have to abstain from sin, period. Now, being unclean, That's unclean morally. That's unclean spiritually. That's unclean physically. So he says, as my priesthood, all these animals, when they came out of the flood, and if you go back and you research this, when they came out of the flood, all the animals were good to eat. All of them. There was nothing unclean. Even though he had some animals that he designated as clean and unclean, he said, all meat shall be good for you, for meat, just like all the herbs, the green herbs are. When he comes and he selects Israel, he selects Abram as his priest, as his, you know, I'm going to make my nation through you, and he comes into covenant with him. Everywhere you walk, Abram, I'm going to give to you and your descendants. Okay, and we, you know, even the land that they're claiming to be Israel right now is not the entire land that the Most High gave us as a people. It goes from the Nile River to the Euphrates River. And if you look at those on the map, you'll see Israel, the land of Israel, falls in between there. But all of that he gave to Abraham. Okay, just a second here. And let me come back on Blog Talk so I can see the screen and I can unmute mics and stuff. So as his people, as living holy, being in the world that we're in right now, being in the land that we're in, we know that we did not come to the Most High holy. We came to him and we may have not known, you know, we had some ideal of what was right and what was wrong, but not really from his perspective. And when it came down to sex and those types of things, you know, as a man, like I said, for me, I was taught to try to get all you can. If she's willing, then you would do that. No morals. We were just, that spirit of whoredom was on us as men, as women. And we were just doing things. We get into relationships and, you know, when we first came out of slavery, yeah, we were actually really practicing marriage, getting married. But as we came up and we got our civil rights in the Western Hemisphere, can't speak for other nations at this point, and we got more freedom, more liberty, then we, the more freedom and liberty we got, the more we became like the world, the more we became like this society. We lived up under the Statue of Liberty, the Goddess Columbia. You're at liberty to do whatever it is that makes you happy. If that means fornicating, long as, you know, with the invention of the birth control pill, as long as, you know, nobody can really prove what you were doing when they first invented the birth control pill, because one of the signs that a woman was having sex outside of marriage, if she got pregnant, now, hey, that's a sure sign. There's only one way you can get that way. But then as society changed and became more liberal, then it even, you know, and the women were supposed to go to a sexual revolution. This spirit of sex and lust and lasciviousness took over. And we went along with it. Wanted to be like the nations. But see, coming out of slavery, as we already know, coming out of slavery, we already had the spirit on us. Master says, sleep with this man. Master says, sleep with that man. Master says, Buck, you're going to impregnate this woman. And we're going to move you over to this farm, and you're going to impregnate that woman. And so it made it to where for most of our men, not I won't say most of them, some of them, okay? But I think coming out of slavery, this might have been something that our men idolized or something. Haven't done the research on that yet. But coming out of slavery, the men weren't used to being in the household. And we had, our families and our children were scattered. Because we have a baby, the baby might stay on the farm, might stay on the plantation, might not. Okay? And so that is a form of trauma. And, you know, our people learn to deal with that almost by becoming where we're unassociated with it. I'm sure for those mothers that their babies got taken from them and sold, sent to another farm, it was traumatic, but it was a way of life. And then to have a baby by whoever, whether it was a master, whether it was this buck that they brought in, or whether it was one of the master's hands that, you know, hey, you just property. No respect, no control over who we had to sleep with. And as I said, we brought that spirit out of slavery with us. And so the men not being accustomed to staying in the house, they were making our women pregnant. And, you know, we had somewhat steady homes, but we never had the help. So this welfare system that this country came up with was designed that, hey, if a family got in trouble, you know, financial trouble, there was an economic downturn or what have you, that they created this welfare. Now, this is after the Great Depression, okay? And this welfare system was supposed to help a family get back up on their feet. Only one problem, it never applied to us. When it first started, it didn't apply to us. And then when we got hip to it, oh, this is available, then it's, oh, now before, the man could be in the home. Because this was designed that the family would be able to get up. But as soon as they found out that, you know, we found out what was going on, then now the man can't be in the house. So it further, enforced this spirit in our people. So you can't be in the house, you can't get any help. We're still trying to do all the jobs that they would have us to do because we don't know who we are as a people. And I can't even say that because I think the Most High always had a remnant that knew. But he started waking us up who he had truly blinded to who we are as a people. He started waking us up. Now, as we woke up, we got excited that, oh, we do, you know, our history doesn't start in slavery. Our history doesn't start in 1796 or 1671 or whatever year they want to put on it. But we didn't know, you know, we got this title African American, but Africa is a continent and America is a continent. Which country did we come out of Africa? This was hid from us. And so we just said African American, or that's the title that we took. But then the Most High started waking us up as to who we really are. He's the only one that had to, he's the only one that could do it. Because my reading of the history and my reading of how they treated us, they always knew who we were as a people. They always knew, and they never wanted us to be the head. No. So we ain't telling you who you are, and we're going to take who you are. We're going to take your job from you. Now, the Gentile nations have been very good at that. They don't invent everything, but they will go in and take it and claim it. Now, the world knows that the Most High Elohim is real. They know he's real. They still want to serve their Elohims, their gods, and serve him too. And when you go into the Kings and you go into the Chronicles, then you will find that even in the land of Egypt, the northern kingdom, with Jeroboam and Rehoboam, when the Most High split the kingdom, that after the time that Jeroboam corrupted the people and the Most High caused them to be taken into Assyria, some escaped. And those that escaped, he said, were Israel. The other ones that didn't escape, they got taken away, they were cut off, period. And then we deal with the southern kingdom, a different lesson. When we bring it forward and we're waking up to who we are, we realize that the Most High chose us and we're his priesthood. We got caught up in that. What? We're the people of the book? We are the lost tribes of Israel? And we got caught up in that identity. And it kind of got stuck there. Because, you know, we start doing things that made us look like Hebrew Israelites on the outside. But we never accepted the job that the Most High gave us as a people. You were selected. You are scattered throughout all the nations of the world because you are my people and you are my priesthood. And if you will accept the assignment, I will graft you back in again. So we're looking at the world, and see, here's the problem. We're looking at the world in the Christian church, and the Christian church tells you, hey, if you sin, all you got to do is confess your sin, and he is true and just to forgive you. So they're still practicing and worshiping other gods and doing all this stuff, and we're still wanting to be like them. We're coming from a Christian mindset, this liberal mindset, that we have liberty to do whatever we want to do, and the Most High will just forgive us and accept us. But we are a different people, and we got to understand that as a people. The Most High selected us and said, you are going to be a nation of priests. A holy nation. We waking up have to want that assignment. That means that we have to change our ways. We have to learn the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. How are we going to teach the nations the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High if we're living by the statutes, laws, and commandments of the country we're in? And this religious thing, it's just a religious thing. No, this is a government. This is a nation. We are scattered. But we still are supposed to come together as a nation. He will gather us back into the land when he's ready to, when we do what we're supposed to do. But think about this, my brothers and my sisters. Think about this. The Most High, what did he do with Joseph? Because when I was laying in the bed one day, and this was before I knew that I was a Hebrew Israelite, I was laying in the bed, and the Most High said, you're Joseph. What do you mean? You're Joseph. What did I do to Joseph? I had sent Joseph into slavery. And he's in slavery so that he can be in position when I bring Jacob and his other brothers who sold him into slavery so that he can be in position to save them. The Most High wanted his priesthood to be global. He scattered us into slavery as a punishment, but it was also that we might be in position to spread this gospel, the gospel of the kingdom, that we might take on the role of our priesthood. That requires us to be holy. That requires us to be set apart. That means that the ways of the nations that we're in, we can't take, we have to look at those ways, and whatever is not like the Most High, we have to let it go. And all of our people aren't going to come into this truth at the same time. And sometimes you got to let go of family. Sometimes you got to let go of friends. Sometimes you just got to, you know what, I need a whole complete change of lifestyle. Because, you know, I grew up smoking weed. I grew up smoking cigarettes. I grew up drinking. Grew up chasing women. Grew up stealing. All these things contrary to the Most High Elohim. And then when you realize and you accept who he has chosen you to be, when I found out that we were Israel, it changed my whole perspective. I was already filled with the Ruach. But it changed my whole perspective about the scriptures, about the statutes, the laws, and the commandments. It's not about them Over there, it's about us. This is our history. This is our Elohim. This is the one who scattered us into all the nations of the world. This is the one that's waking us up. Now, can we hear him? Can we value who we are as a people? First of all, can you value that you are a child of the Most High Elohim? And that comes with a birthright, an inheritance. Can you value that? Or will you be like Esau and not value your birthright in Messiah? Don't worry about your birthright as a Hebrew, because you know what? Your birthright as a Hebrew won't get you anything unless you come into Messiah. Don't get you nothing. Your birthright as a Hebrew and a quarter get you a cup of coffee. Not even that today. Got to come in through Messiah. Got to be grafted back in to take on the job that we were initially given and fired from. But the Most High made a promise to Jacob and to Abraham. And it's only because of his promise for them. So let's be real for a minute. Because I don't want us to, we should never be proud or puffed up as a people. Okay? Never, ever. We got no space to be proud with how our forefathers did the Most High Elohim. How they disobeyed him. How they profaned his name. How they disregarded their birthright. I want you to be my priesthood. I'm going to make you my children, my sons. Didn't value it, didn't put enough value into it. Started, you know, worshiping even Solomon and the kings. You know, when you read about the kings, the Most High has an accusation against even the good kings. You didn't tear down the high places like I told you to. You're going up in there and thinking that you're worshiping me, and these altars have been dedicated to Baal and these other gods. And you go and you read it. Read the kings, and at the end of all the testimony about all those kings, but a couple, they didn't tear down the high places, the places of worship. Solomon even built an altar in the temple of the Most High. So we got to understand that we have been doing crazy things as a people all through our history. And we've been scattered and enslaved more than we've been free as a people. So we got nothing to be proud of. Only way that we can, you know, be proud is that the Most High, he selected us. He chose us. But our behavior, no. We got nothing to be proud of. So we want to make the Most High proud. We want to have him accept us as his children. We have to pick up the job that he initially signed to us. Go back to our roots. I'll make you a nation, a holy nation, a priest. That means there's a standard of living that the law requires. Your women can't be sleeping around. Your men really can't be sleeping around unless they're married. You, as a people, as a holy nation, you can't eat these certain animals. Now, what the nations do, that's on them. You're my priesthood. And for you to be around me, you can't eat unclean. You can't eat unholy. There's a standard that comes with it. You can't be out here trying to cheat people out their money. You can't be out here trying to swindle people or be using false measures or be trying to con people. You can't be out here taking advantage of the poor and the homeless and the widows. You can't do that. The world does that. The world don't give a damn about their poor. They don't care about them, but this is what's near and dear to the Most High, and it has to be near and dear to his priesthood. The world is in sin. Has been since Adam and Eve. I selected you to be my people, my priesthood, my inheritance in the world. And that you would be my go-between between the nation of Israel, or the Most High, and the world. But you have to start off with one nation. And so when he brought us out, the biggest problem we've had, and we still have today, we want to be like them. We don't want to be holy. We don't want to be set apart. We don't want to be sanctified. We still want to have our gin and juice, looking at our porn, you know, and saying that we're the people of the Most High. Now, hear this. Defiling our women, having no respect of the marital relationship at all. Think that we can get married and then get divorced if it don't work. Only to find out when we come to the Most High, oh, wait a minute, that's not his standard. And we've been doing business by the way of the world, but then we come and find out the Most High is not like the world. And his standards are much higher, and he places much more value on the sanctity of marriage. He places much more value on fornicating. On having sex, period. Got to do it within the sanctimony or the sanctuary of marriage. The world is like, mm-mm. Like when we really looked at Baal, the one who translates to the Lord in English, part of their worship was they had the priest, Jezebel, and her priest would have sex with people who brought sacrifices. Our people like that because they went after it, contrary to the Most High. So we have always had this kind of nature to us as a people. And the Most High would send us into captivity, but you're my chosen. He would deliver us, send us a deliverer. A generation we'd be good, and then we'd be back at it again, trying to be like the nations. So the Most High is looking for a seed in his people that want to be holy, that want to be sanctified, that want to be his priesthood. Since we don't have a culture that is really a holiness culture, it's not our way of life, then in order to create that way of life, we have to cut off some things. We have to put aside some things. We have to let some people go. And we're so afraid that somebody's going to call us holy. We're so afraid that we're going to have to let go of some things that we ourselves don't want to let go. Because, wait a minute, I like doing that. I like doing that. And I don't really want to let it go. I don't want to be by myself. Yeah, I've been having sex since I was 16. And I'm now in my prime. And now I don't have a man. I don't want to let that go. I don't want to be lonely. I don't want to live this life alone. Even as a man. I don't want to be alone. I'll do whatever. And yeah, you're just going to have to forgive me. I can't be that holy. Then you can't be his. There's no in between. There's no I'm kind of his. That don't exist in the Most High's eyes. Because you are lukewarm. Choose. Are you going to be in the world or are you going to be holy for me? In between ain't getting it. Do you want me with your whole heart? Or do you just afraid of going to the lake? Because don't sound like you want me at all. You want to be blessed. You don't want to suffer. You want the blessings, but you don't want the blesser. Because the blesser comes with standards and requirements. One of those is be holy, be clean, be set apart, that I might walk among you, that I might be in you. So when we look at your lives, trying to get healed, I'm going to say it to you this way. First of all, number one, write down, I am a child of the Most High Elohim. And I value that. I esteem that with everything that is within me. There is no greater honor than being the Most High declaring you to be his child. And maybe if we understand it, okay, I'm the child of the Most High. And that makes me, it really sets me above all those who are not, because we've read in the scripture, everybody's not a child of the Most High Elohim. Are we all mankind? Yes. But we are not all the children of Elohim. And that's one of the mistakes, one of the fallacies that the world teaches. You got to become a child of Elohim. Other than that, you're just a human. And when I say that, you know, I'm saying it kind of derogatory, because you need to put value to, I'm a child of the Most High Elohim. You need to esteem that. One of the things of being a child of the Most High Elohim, he has called me to be holy. If I esteem being his child, if that has value to me, then being holy has to have a value to me, because it's what he requires. So what does that take? Oh, I can't practice sin. I can't willfully practice sin. I can't willfully transgress his laws. Well, I didn't grow up knowing his laws. I don't know, you know, I know some of the stuff the church taught me, but what does he really consider a sin? In the Old Testament, in Torah, in the prophets, there's about 614 laws. Not just the Ten Commandments. And see, we practice uncleanliness, and we think that it's just eating, but it goes way further than that. There's a scripture that says, no unclean person shall enter into my kingdom. No unclean person. No unholy person. Because those terms are synonymous. They're the same thing. So we have to learn from the scriptures what the Most High considers to be clean and unclean for his priesthood and anybody that wants to associate with his priesthood. Because the stranger can associate themselves and they can come into Messiah. And they can desire the office of the priesthood just like Israel can. And they want to join themselves to us. Now, there's some other things that go with that, but that's a whole nother precept. So, first thing, you and I, in order to get well, in order to become better, you got to accept that you are a child. If you've been filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, because see, let's talk about that for a minute as well. When Messiah says you must be born of the water and of the Spirit, he says you got to be begotten just like I was of the Most High, by his Spirit. Literally, by his Spirit. And so you have to seek that out and become his child. You have to go before him and ask him for it. I want you. I want you. I want to be your child. I want to learn to live as your child. I want to go into priest training. I want to go into king training, because when we get to Messiah, he's going to make you a king and a priest. The Most High said originally, hey, I want to make you a holy nation, a nation of priests. We get into the New Testament. Messiah is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek was a king of Salem and the high priest of the Most High. That is the priesthood that we come into. And so if this is what he's giving you, this is what he's offering you, can you not esteem it? Can you not put high value on it? Can it not be the most valuable thing in your life? Understanding who you are, this is what was taken from you. This is what the Most High kicked you out of. So now I'm taking you back. If you will just come and humble yourselves and live by faith, believe that what I say to you is true. This is what Israel lacked. He said they lack faith. They lack belief. Our forefathers. Can you believe that the Most High is going to make you his child? That he's going to put you in the priestly order? And is going to also make you a king? Because his kingdom is a kingdom of priests. So I'm going to put you, give you authority in the earth. And give you a kingship in the earth over some facet of some 5 cities, some 10 cities, some maybe 10 people, some 50 people, some 100 people. Can you believe that? And are you willing to accept the assignment? And the first part of that is setting yourself apart, making yourself holy. So I'm not going to willfully, once you bring me out of this sin, once I confess my sin, I realize, hey, I am a sinner. I didn't even know about your statutes, laws, and commandments. And the more I read about them, the more I realize that I was just a terrible person. Running toward wickedness, laughing about it, joking about it. Consumed by it until Yah pulled me out of it and said, this is a serious thing. You can't say you're my child and then treat it as something common. You can't say that you're my child and behave any kind of way. Oh, but I'm trying. No. Commit to what you're doing. Trust me. All the trying will go away. You start becoming. Not trying, because see, trying indicates that there's room for you to fail. I tried. No, I don't even want to give you that room. You know, I talk all the time about not giving the saints wiggle room, because we will wiggle. It's our nature. But you need to know that the Most High Elohim loves you, and that this is what he has called you to. This is what he has elevated you to, and you need to esteem it very highly. Or else he's going to look at you like Esau and say, oh, you despise your birthright. You don't care nothing about what I'm offering you. So he says, be thou holy. Well, first accept that you are his child. And that with being his child, that comes with an inheritance and a birthright. You shall inherit the earth. You shall be a kingdom of priests. This is your birthright. Do you esteem it? Do you value it? Because if you esteem it and value it, if you know who you are, then you can embrace it. This is who we are. This is who I am. This is what this means. Oh, wait a minute. When you go get a job in the world, I don't care what type of job it is, it comes with some requirements. It comes with some qualifications. And if you got to study to become qualified to do that job, a lot of the times we just learn OJT, on-the-job training. And a lot of us end up doing for life a lot of times what our first job was, if we liked it. If we didn't like it, then we're searching around for something that's going to make us happy that we like doing. And then we got to learn that job. And then we try to become what? The expert or the subject matter expert in that job. We try to become the best at, you know, I can speak for me, become the best at that job. Now, when it comes to the Most High, and I realized who we were as a people, and I realized what it was that he was offering us, and I realized I wasted most of my life doing other than what the Most High has called me to do, called me to be his priest. And so you know what? All those things I used to do in the world, all that bad behavior, that negative behavior, everything that was contrary to the Most High Elohim had to go. This disqualifies me for the job. And if I want to be qualified for the job, then I got to do those things that make me qualified. First, I got to become his son. I got to be born again. And I asked the Most High, let me have it just like the apostles had. I want to have the same experience they had. I don't want it to be no doubt in my mind that you have chosen me. Because I want to do this job. And I know I have to be chosen by you to do it. So I want to have the same experience as the apostles had. The exact same one. I don't want it to be no doubt, period. Now, after he did that for me, then okay, now I got to find out what the qualifications are. And the Most High have been taking me through those things. Oh, yeah, you got to learn about the Sabbath. Honor my Sabbath and keep it holy. Don't be dishonoring me. Oh, you got to learn about my statutes, laws, and commandments. You got to learn about how, you got to learn contract law. Because I made a contract with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and the people of Israel. That was that covenant. And that covenant is legally binding. But you broke my covenant. You broke the contract. So legally speaking, I can just cut you off. I don't have to honor my promises because you didn't honor yours. You didn't honor your end of the contract. So I said I would make a better contract with you. And instead of putting the statutes, the laws, and the commandments on paper, on stone, on wood, I would write them in your heart. I would put them in your mind. I would give you my spirit, me literally. You got to want it. So you got to understand contract law. The contract requires for you to be clean. The contract requires for you to be perfect. As I am perfect, the contract requires for you to be sanctified and set apart. The contract requires for you to live your life a certain way. So you can't enter into my contract and bring the world with you. Because all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, is not of me. But you want to bring that with you. Well, most I like. You know, I like that buzz alcohol give me, but I told you to be sober. I like that buzz that I get from that joint, I like being high. That trip, you know, it helps me to concentrate in your scriptures. Yeah, but I consider that as witchcraft. It changes your mind. You should be getting your inspiration from my spirit, from me, not some drug. Well, most high, you know, I was molested at 9, 10, 11 years old, and I got an appetite for sex. And this thing, I just can't seem to let it go. Which one do you love more? Me or it? Because, see, the Most High can take it from you, but you got to want it to be taken from you. Which one do you love more, the pleasure or to be my child? Which one do you love more, the pleasure or the job that I've called you to? You like that perversity? Because, you know, the world is into everything. It's just a man being with a woman and, you know, they're having sex. It's, oh, we need excitement in the bedroom and start introducing all this other stuff. And it becomes about living for that pleasure and fulfilling the lust of the flesh. And we already know all addictions stem from the spirit of pleasure. I don't care whether it's alcoholism. I don't care whether it's weed or cigarettes or sex or power. Something about any of those addictions, they provide us with some form of pleasure. And that is the root of them. Maybe a different thing, a different type of addiction, but the root of it is we get some type of pleasure out of it. And so it's that spirit of pleasure that has to be addressed. So we have to understand by the contract, well, no, you can't take part in those things. Because those things they're of the world. And I'm calling you, I need you to be in place in case somebody needs to be healed. You can't heal them if you are unclean. You can't lay hands on them because I don't know what spirit might be in you. You're doing this, that, and the other. What spirit is in you? They're just looking for you to touch somebody and pass it on to them. So I need you to be clean. When they need to get a word through to me because they don't have a relationship with me, you should have a relationship with me. I should be talking to you. I should be giving you directions. I should be telling you where to go and where not to go. You should be asking. What would you have me to do? This person has come to me. What is your will in this? Not what my will is. What is your will, Most High, in this? Can I even help them? If the Most High has judged somebody and they come to you and then you don't even ask the Most High what's going on, and here you are trying to intervene and you're going against him. Because it seems like it's right to do. But you got to ask. So part of being holy is making yourself clean and available for the master's use. I mean, you can't go to that strip bar. Can't go in that club, really, because of all the things that are going on in there. And if you had those spirits before, unless you've been truly, truly delivered from them, you can't go in there. Those spirits are going to see you and say, aha, they're back. But if you've been delivered from it, it ain't nothing in there that can mess with you. But you got to know that. You have to know that. If you're still struggling with, you know, I just love a big behind. Let me go in this bar, in this strip bar. What? You know, there was a story on the internet not too long ago. A brother held the Passover at a strip bar. A strip bar. Called himself a teacher in Israel. Had the Passover at a strip bar. He had been going in the strip bar all along. That's how he decided to have it there. Saying, I got my Bible with me. And I'm ministering to these people. No, you're not. And how are you going to take the Most High's people into an unclean place, have a holy ceremony, the Passover, in an unclean place? No regard for who he is. No regard for who the Most High is. No respect of the Most High's people. Just doing stuff, what seems right to them. No influence. If he had the Ruach HaKodesh, trust me, there's no way he could have did that and not be sorely convicted. The Ruach ain't going to stop you. I guess the Most I could say, you know what, die. You just drop dead. So being holy. That means that we got to let go of the lust of the flesh in the world. We're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. We're supposed to be in the world, but of the kingdom of the Most High. That is a literal kingdom. And because we don't, because we're so scattered, and we're so separated, it's hard for us to come together even as a people with one mind in one direction, with the mind of and the spirit of the Most High, to understand that as his people, the only way we're going to make it is that we come together. That we hold each other to the same standard of holiness. That we have people to encourage us and to lift us up in it. That we have examples of it. Because see, truth be known, most of us are not out of this world. We still want to dress like the world. We still want to behave like the world. We still trying to achieve the things that the world says has value. And we have not accepted the assignment that the Most High has given us as his priesthood. What are you doing to try to become a priest? What are you doing to try to become that priestess? What are you doing to perfect your craft? What are you doing to try to become the subject matter expert? We're busy trying to fulfill the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye. And the pride of life is not the priesthood. The pride of life is, oh, I want to be a lawyer. The pride of life is, oh, I want to be a doctor. The pride of life is, oh, I want to be a drug dealer. The pride of life is, oh, I like swinging on this pole. It gives me power over men. The pride of life is all this stuff that is not of the Most High. So he says, we got to come back to holiness. We got to let these things go. We have to make a decision in our heart and in our mind that we're not going to be, this is not what we want. We don't want the world. We don't want its ways. We want the way of the Most High. We want to live by his standards. We want to do those things that are pleasing to him. So you know what? My family practiced this, and this is the way I grew up. And I realized that this is contrary to the Most High. And so I can't be around them because they don't want to change. They like what they're doing. They're caught up in it. Don't seem like nothing wrong to them. Most High hasn't awakened them yet. Because they want to be everything but what he said. I got an ideal. I can make money like this. Most High says, if you do what I say to do, you will have 10% of all the gross national product, all the gross global product. The world will tithe to the Most High, and the world will bring the Most High offerings. And the Most High says, I give it to you because you are my priesthood for your service to me. But we're trying to get up in the world in everything but what he has chosen us for. So we have to come out and realize, hey, we need to be sanctified to the Most High. I belong to the Most High, but I'm a king. I'm a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, of the kingdom of Yah. I'm a citizen of that kingdom. Well, if you're a citizen of this kingdom, what are my statutes, my laws, and my commandments? Now I realize that I'm a citizen of that kingdom, then I have to project that. Can't be walking around here all red-eyed and high and drunk, looking to just get into everything. Don't, if it move, you know, if it move and come around us, everything stop moving. Wait, they might try to screw me or something. These brothers, that's all they think about. Got to come out of that. Got to come out of, you know, it don't matter how I make this money. I got to get paid. No, it do matter how you make your money. And it needs to be acceptable to the Most High. Now, this term whoremonger, I want you to think about this. What does that word monger or mean? That means to peddle in something. Like if you're a warmonger, you peddle in war. You go around and sell the things that are used for war. If you are a whoremonger, that means that you, in our language, are a pimp. We have no respect, have lost all respect for our women, for ourselves, and for the Most High Elohim. And because we have no respect and no fear of him, then we can do these things to each other. Because we don't accept the jibe that he gave us. Why? Because that jibe requires us to be holy. I'm going to just tell you the truth. Israel has always had a problem being holy. Every time you turn around, oh, we're going through the Moabites. Oh, we just conquered the Moabites. Let's take their women. We're going to kill all the men and all the women who had husbands. We're killing them too. But everyone who was a virgin and not married, we're taking them. Oh, wait a minute. The Moabites worship Baal. So now we got them in our camps. We got them in our tents. And we want to make her happy. And she says, well, part of our ritual is, you know, we do this as part of our worship. Now, when you go into the scriptures, if you understand what you're reading, when that Israelitish woman when the brother came back with that Moabitish woman, let me change that, and he comes right in front of Moses. He go into the tent. It was a Moabitish, she was a priestess for Baal. He's taking her in the tent, and they're getting ready to get busy as part of worship. And the brother runs in there with a spear and thrusts them through, her and him. And the Most High said, now my anger is quenched. If you're going to let that go on in the camp in front of me, I'm going to start killing a lot of y'all. But because we don't know the history and we don't know the significance of these things, then we can't, you know, when we see it today, when we don't separate ourselves because we live in, and like I said, I can only talk about the U.S. at this point. We live in the land of liberty. You're at liberty to do whatever you want to do, whatever makes you happy. As long as it don't, quote unquote, harm somebody else. And in some cases, hey, if they're in agreement with it, they ain't got no law against that either. That's where all that BDSM stuff comes in at. So we got to understand that as his people, you got to accept that you are his child. First become one. Then accept that for what it is. Esteem it for what it is. Put value on it for what it is. I am a child of the Most High Elohim. I am a future king of this earth. I am in training for that. How am I being trained? The Most High is saying, you're going to learn the statutes, laws, and commandments. Then you're going to learn what's important to me. And then you're going to do those things. You're going to walk in them. You're going to practice them. You're going to talk them. And you're not going to halfway do it because I don't want any of you that are halfway. You either hot or you cold. You ain't warm because I don't do lukewarm. I will blow you out of my nostrils. I'd rather know, yeah, I need to judge this, and they've chosen wickedness. They chose to be wicked. They understand they chose it. And this one over here, they understand they chose to be holy. And all these in between, you ain't choose this day who you will serve. Because either way it go, I'm killing you if you don't choose me. So choose. You can't be in between. You can't be on the fence. You can't be kind of in and kind of out. Because you'll always struggle with sin if you're that way. You won't be committed. It'll be always something that comes up. You know, you can't help what you see that looks good to you. If a sister walks by and she's dressed a certain way, your eyes didn't stop seeing. If a brother walks by and he's dressed a certain way, he looks a certain way, your eyes didn't stop working. So if you're on the fence, you might think, oh, I can sort of tip this way for right now. It seems good to me until it don't. And then we want to run back to the Most High. He says, You knew what you were doing. You knew you weren't supposed to get involved with that. But you decide to do it anyway. That's why he says that presumptuous sin and that ignorant sin. He has always made a distinction. And see, we can't get away from that. We'll try to talk our way out of it. We'll try to be like, Most High has got to forgive me. He don't. Trust me, he don't. He tells us, so as his child, you have to know. The Most High says, hey, this is what's right and wrong. I hold you accountable for it. And anything I haven't taught you, if you get caught doing it because I haven't taught you, then you can confess for that and I will forgive it. Now you know not to do it no more. But that stuff that you know is wrong and you claim to be my child, and you know This is against daddy's rules. You know it. You're old enough to know it. You're accountable for it, but you're going to do it anyway. And you think I'm just going to let you go with that? He has never let Israel go with that. So we got to understand the rules of engagement. We got to understand the covenant, the contract, what's required. You sign on the dotted line, yes, Most High, yes, Most High, whatever you say, I will do. He said, because you know what? I don't want a piece of you. I don't want a little bit of you. I require your all. You shall find me when you seek me with your whole heart. When you find me, you need to serve me with your whole heart. Not what you think you want to give me. Not what you think is satisfactory to me. What's satisfactory to me is all of you, 100%. If you love anything or anyone more than you love me, you are not worthy of me. You got to believe that. You have to grab hold of that because, you know, this ain't Brother Miles' word. I didn't write that. The Most High wrote it, had it written. Do you believe it? Then as his child, you must abide by it. Do you fear him and what he will do to you in your disobedience more than you fear losing whatever it is? You know, once we have been delivered from a thing, then we should not be tempted by it. Because if you know who you are and what he delivered you from, he delivered you from it so that it would not have hold on you. You should be done with it. Because I know who I am. And I know that he delivered me from that so that I can do the job that he gave me to do. And if I go back into it, I'm going to lose my job. But not only am I going to lose my job, I'm going to lose my salvation. I'm going to lose my life, literally, because I'm going to end up in the lake. See, there's a point where the Most High, and I, you know, what I have realized, just talk about me, what I have realized the past few years is that, just putting it flat, the Most High don't play. He does not play, and we've been trying to play him. And the world has been teaching us to play him. But he don't play. And everywhere where you look in his scriptures, he says, I will not be mocked. You might think you're mocking me. You might think you're getting away with something. But you better take this thing serious. It is not a light thing that you should be my child. I require my children to be holy. He didn't say, you don't read nowhere in scripture where he said, try to be holy as I try to be holy. It is not written that way. You don't get to try. You do. That's why he says, be a doer of my word. Not just a hearer, not just a kind of doer. Everything you do for me, do with your whole heart. Put your all into it. Just like you would put your all into whatever task the man gave you that he's going to pay you, whatever amount of dollars an hour. Give me that best and better. Because of what I'm promising you, what I'm giving you. Because you should understand what I'm doing. You should understand that there is no greater privilege in the world. There ain't no greater title in the world than the one that the creator of the world gives you. So we want to be well. We want to get whole. We want to be delivered. First, realize who you are. That gives you value. Should give you, make you more valuable than anything this world can make you. And then because you have value and you mean something to someone, to the Most High Elohim, that should mean something to you. That should be enough to hold you. That should be enough to keep you. That should be enough to make you put down some things. Wait a minute. He's going to elevate me first to a priest, then to a king, and then because he made me his child and he is God, that also will make me a God by his spirit. That's why he said, did ye not know that ye are gods? And the scripture cannot be broken, because if I make you my child, I am a God. I'm an Elohim. I'm the creator of the universe. Everything that bows to me, because you are my child, in the end will bow to you. But you don't understand what he's giving you, so it has no value. Makes it hard to be holy. Makes it hard for you to take hold of your training and put yourself all into the training. That I'm going to be the best priest the Most High can have. So I want to put this where your motivation is what the Most High is doing for you, what the Most High has promised you, that even though you can't see it right now, your faith in what he's promising you will make you be what it is that he wants you to be. Because you understand who it is, who you are. And if you can't esteem the Most High, say, I'm going to make you a God. I'm going to give you power and authority over the creation. Not just this world, because see, we see this world and we think that this is all it is. He says, but you can't imagine the things that I have for you in my riches. You think the world, the earth, is the only thing that the Most High possesses? Go outside and look up in that sky. You can't see to the end of what he created. And the kingdom of heaven is outside of that. We can't even see to the end of this. He says, I'm going to bless you and put you over. This world is not just it. This is what he starts with. But I am the creator of the universe. I have declared you to be my children with inheritance. And see, we just think that inheritance is in Israel. It's way bigger than that. Way bigger than that. This is your training ground. Because you know what? I got some creatures you don't know about. I got some other people you don't know about. I got some other worlds you don't know about. And so we're stuck on this. So if this is what we can understand and this is what we can deal with, this is all we see. This is all we know. This is how he deals with us. But the Most High, he reveals things. This is not just it. And so you don't really know the totality of what you're giving up if you don't choose him, if you don't do what he says to do. And if what you can see in front of you, this world, and he says, I'm going to make you a king in this world. I'm going to give you dominion over this world. I'm going to give you eternal life If that is not motivation enough for you, if you can't just the fact that he would make you his child, declare you to be his child, the creator of the universe, everything bows down to him in this universe, known and unknown, seen and unseen. Everything bows to him. I'm making you my child, and you can't esteem that. You can't put value in that. It's not enough to make you do right. Then you are not worthy. Really, he calls you a reprobate, a reject. This one is malformed. This one is corrupt beyond repair. This one is corrupt beyond redeeming. Because they put no value. It's not capable of putting value in what I'm giving to. And I'm going to say it so to make a point. But I'm not. They are not able to put value in what I have called them to be, what I'm giving them. And they have put, they don't know what it is that I'm giving them, so they have a hard time being holy. They have a hard time meeting the requirements of the contract. Don't even understand all the stipulations of the contract, but even those things that we can understand, not willing to change because we understand who we are and what we are. So our healing begins with understanding who we are and what we've been called to and accepting the assignment. Holy, with 100% of ourselves. That's what it comes down to. And if you value who you are in him, if you value your sonship, for lack of a better word here, if it means something to you, if it's worth something to you, then when you line it up with everything else, it should always be the most valuable thing, the most precious thing that you have. And anything that would cause you to lose that, you would say, that's got to go. That ain't even an option. That ain't even an option. This over here compared to this, not an option. Automatically, that's got to go. Anything that will require me, that will cause me to lose this, got to go, or I'm not in my right faculty, or I've chosen to be on the other side. I've chosen the losing side, and that's where I want to be because I love sex, or I love getting high, or I love whatever it is that's going to keep me from this. I love it more than I want this, or that I love being a child of the Most High. And so, as this child, I'm going to learn what I can and cannot eat. I'm going to learn where I can and cannot go. I'm going to learn what I can and cannot do. I'm going to learn how I can and cannot think. I'm going to learn what is pleasing, what is that my Father, what is it that he desires? What's going to make him happy? I was created for his pleasure. What is your pleasure, Most High? What is going to please you today? I will learn those things. I will hold myself to them. If nobody else does, I will hold myself to it. Because this is what I desire. So today, today, each and every person listening, you got a choice to make. It ain't hard. It really is not. It ain't complicated. It really is not. Choose this day. Today, whom you're going to serve. With your whole heart. Commit this day. All this other stuff will go away. The drug addiction, the sex addiction, the power addiction, whatever it is, if you choose, the Most High will take it from you. And 9 times out of 10, he won't even have to take it from you because you value who you are and you will just let it go. I'm not, oh no. This ain't worth eternity. This ain't worth what the Most High is offering me. It don't stack up any kind of way. Choose today. That's all it takes. That's all it takes. Realize who you are. Embrace it and choose. You be saying all that other stuff. Oh, that's dumb stuff. Forget the dumb stuff. Let that go. Most of that ain't even an issue because I realize who I am. I realize what you're giving me. I realize what you're making me. And I value it. I see the value in it. I see that there is no greater gift that anything or anyone could give me in this creation. Nobody can offer me this. Nobody can offer to make you a child of the Most High, but the Most High. Gabriel, Raphael, Satan, Lucifer, any of the other angels, they can't make you a son of the Most High Elohim. Nothing else that he has created can make you a child of the Most High Elohim. Only the Most High can do that. He didn't offer that to the angels. He didn't offer that to any other creatures. He offered it to you and I, and we don't see no value in it. It ain't that important. It ain't that big a thing. It ain't that big a deal. I'm hungry. Give me some of them beans you got, and you can have my birthright. Is it not so important to you that you can't be holy as Yah has called you to be holy? You need to be like Daddy. I'm holy. You got to be like me. And I ain't a little bit holy. I'm 100% holy. And that's what I'm looking for. Let us bow our heads. Father Yah, you have said, the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Father, we are your people that you have chosen. We are the descendants of a disobedient people. And Father, you have awakened us and told us who we are. And we still don't esteem it. We still find no value in it. Arguing about who is Esau. Who's an Edomite. Who's a Hebrew. Who's not a Hebrew. Father, convict us. Where are we at even right now? Put the spirit of shame on us for how we have disregarded and not esteemed what you have offered to us. That we could not do a simple thing such as be holy. That we would not commit it to ourselves, that we would live by your standards and your standards alone, not by what we feel is right, but by what you say is right. Father, you know that we have always been a weak people, and it's by your Spirit, only by your Spirit, that we will be able to do this. Father, if there's anyone among us that is weak, that is operating under their own power, Father, equip them today as they come to you. Equip them with your Spirit that they might put value in what you have offered us. Father, you have said that we are your people, your inheritance. And Father, we don't want to make the same mistakes that our forefathers made. We don't want to have this book and this testimony and come up short. You have said that by your Spirit, all things are possible. Father, give all who need it. Everybody needs it, but all who don't have it, give them your Ruach HaKodesh, your Holy Spirit, that they might have power to walk in your ways. That they might desire and put down all the excuses as to why they cannot. Father, we don't want to be reprobates. We don't want to be rejects. We find value in you, Father. We set you on high. There is nothing higher than you in our lives. We have understanding of what it is that you have offered to and given to us and done for us. And Father, we won't despise it. We won't treat it as common. But we shall embrace it with everything that we have. Father, we give ourselves wholly unto you. Help us to live according to your standards. Send us what we need that we might do what you require. Convict us any time that the enemy would come and try to tell us that, oh, I can do this, I can slip and do that, or whatever it is that would be contrary to you, Father. Send an angel and dispatch an angel that they would run that demon off. That Satan shall have no power with your children. We believe, we know and believe that your word and your promise is true. If we live up to the contract, you will fulfill your end. Father, we want to enter into the new covenant. Write your statutes, your laws, and your commandments on our hearts, that we might live by them with everything that is within us. And Father, we'll be so grateful and so thankful to always give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. Thank you for even considering us. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right. So I pray that each of you today, that you go before the Most High if you have not already, that you accept the gift that he has offered to you, that you embrace it, that that be your motivation for whatever is going on in your life that you might feel you need deliverance from. Understand that you have already been delivered. Just take hold of what the Most High is offering you. You're not as weak as you may think you are. And where you need help, the Most High will come and help you. He will send help But you got to know who you are. You got to embrace it. And you got to commit to it. Period. You can't halfway do this. This is not a halfway thing. If you are not decided, then you know what? You need to choose today, because tomorrow ain't promised to you. We all know that. Tomorrow is not promised to us. There are some people not here today that didn't know they weren't going to be here today. Choose you today. Don't put it off. You don't know. You don't know. And if the Most High still has you here for a time, then you want to spend that time doing the work of the kingdom. You want to spend that time doing kingdom business. Doing the job that he has called you to do. You and I, all of us. So the time for playing is over. The time for games is over. The time for being undecided is over. The time for desiring those things of the world more than you desire the things of the Most High are over. Or else he will turn you over to it completely. Hear my words. You do not want to be a reprobate. You do not want to be a reject. The Most High has given you the keys to what he wants. Choose today. That being said, on Tuesday, we will have a newcomers class. We're still in salvation, you know, because as I said, we all need to be able to teach people what thus saith the Most High. How do you get into his kingdom? What is salvation all about? How do we get in? If we have not experienced it ourselves, then we need to make sure we experience it. How are we trying to get somebody into something we're not in? You know, you got a lot of people that came across the border illegally, trying to claim citizenship in the kingdom, but didn't do what the Most High said to do to get into the kingdom. So I teach these classes so that, I don't care how long you've been in this word, a lot of us were taught in error. And we know it. And a lot of us been running on our own fuel, trying to make it into the kingdom. But the Most High says, you shall receive power. So you don't have to do it on your own. The newcomers class is designed to teach us those things that the Most High has said that we should all know, those things that are important to every saint, to every potential saint. So we are still in, as I said, Yah's plan of salvation. How do you get your citizenship? How do you become saved? How do you live after you become saved? How do you transfer and transmit the same information to others? Because it's your job. So I pray that all that are able to attend on Tuesday, I think we're still dealing with, I thought we were dealing with some aspect of sin. Either way, it'll be a blessing if we're dealing with Messiah. And then once we finish this one, then we will be doing the importance of water baptism. And then the importance of being baptized in the Spirit, being born of the Spirit of the Most High. Those three lessons, which the depth that I'm going into, because I want you to be able to teach it. I want you to have a complete understanding of Yah's plan of salvation so that people know how to come in. And so you know how to enter in and teach others how to enter in so that they are committed to this thing. You're not just saying, oh, I'm a sinner, baptize me and come back up just wet. Still a sinner in their heart. Have not converted, So I pray that we come so that we get understanding. Milk. Well, a lot of us weren't even taught the milk of the word. A lot of us came into this having itching ears, wanting to hear the wonderful things of the Most High, the complex things of the Most High, and the most absolute thing you need to know how to get in, nobody ever really taught you. So that'll be this week's newcomers class on Tuesday, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, same time, same bat station, or same holy station, let's put it that way. Let me not do it like that. I want to commend my sister on this morning and her her and Sister Rhea and the prayer line that they have. Really, I was blessed this morning. And, you know, I would encourage you all to join in. Everybody's got a certain aspect of ministry to them. And for deliverance and, you know, becoming holy before the Most High, I think the sister can help some people. But I pray, you know, that we understand and we do the necessary. That we go before the Most High. That you take what you've heard today. And that you truly apply it in your lives. You don't want to do all this to come up short. Because to come up short is the lake. That's why he says, put your all into it. Be committed. This is what our forefathers didn't do. So we cannot make the same mistakes they made. I refuse to. I can't do any, you know, I can't make anyone listening do anything. I can only tell you. But trust and understand that I'm committed. Anything I'm telling you to do, I'm doing and going to do. Because I understand what the Most High has given us. And it is nothing, nothing, nothing in this world more valuable than that. May the Most High encamp his angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm. Seen and unseen. Until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. But the Most High Elohim loves you way more than I ever could. Follow Yah. Don't follow men. Shalom, family. And where did my mouse go?
Forever. me with the water, baptized, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time for Shabbat. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpacha, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You're always there, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. Always there, teach me the way. Pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect. And his kingdom will reign.